you very much, operator, and thank you for joining. Gisela, please help me do a roll call.
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's constituency operations call, Friday the 19th of February, we have Olga Cavalli, Claudio Di Gangi, Rafik Damak. We have from staff Julie Headland, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Victoria McEvedy, SS, Krista Papak, Chuck Gomes, Zahid Jamil, and Tony Harris will be joining us in about half an hour. Please state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Olga.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And thank you, Rafik and Claudio and staff, for joining. As we were waiting for starting the call, Claudio made a very interesting question, and I was wondering about it before starting the conversation. Should we have a minimum amount of working team members on the call to make it valid? Julie, could you please help me in finding any text related to that in the charter as we discuss other things about timing?
Yes, Olga, actually, I don't believe there's anything in the charter.
I don't recall, but...
I'll take a quick look at it. There is language as far as what is a census, but not as far as the number of people needed for a call. But if you wanted to discuss the timing of the call, I'll take a quick look at the charter.
Yes, thank you very much, Julie. About the timing, I have no problem in doing the call at other time. What do others think? Is there a reason that we changed it? Because I missed that call and I don't remember in the MP3 which was the reason for changing it.
Olga, I think Chuck might have had. I think he runs into something at 10 o'clock or.
Yeah, maybe.
This is Julie. Chuck has a hard stop typically at 9:30, and I have a meeting now, a recurring meeting on Fridays for the SAC, which goes from 10 until 11.
So, which would be a good time for the time we had before, 1 hour later? For me, it's the same. But both times are fine for me if I'm not traveling or in a plane. But Claudio?
Yeah, that works for me.
One hour later.
Yeah.
This is Julie. 9 to 10.
Yes.
Now that would lose Chuck for the second half of the call.
Forever? I mean.
Sometimes he has a conflict, and sometimes. It's really
okay. And Rafik?
No problem. Just I'm wondering if we will have the meeting every week. I think it's like kind of too much frequent.
You mean every 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think that's about twice 2 weeks. And I'm not sure that every week and one hour and a half, that it's...
Well, the reason that we have more frequency and more time is because we are a little bit late with our outcomes. And it would be good if we can move forward. But if it's an inconvenience for us and we cannot get the people together, then we have to revise that because it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. We may do a doodle again to find a good time for the group. I think it could be a good idea. Perhaps, Gisela, you can send a doodle for refinding. Does this word exist in English?
Actually, Olga, this is Julie. We can certainly do a doodle, but please keep in mind that we have, I think, I've forgotten the number of calls we now have, so we will have the difficulty of finding a time at which there is...
I know.
So that was why, I mean, for one thing, I would suggest that we stay with Friday because as soon as we switch to another day of the week, then we're likely to run into other conflicts. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think maybe what we could do is I could send a message to the team. It seems that the, you know, that I know that Krista has expressed a desire for a little bit of a later time because it's, and Chuck as well, it's been, you know, quite early for them, and perhaps even a half an hour difference, so say 8:30 to 9:30 might be helpful to them. What do others think about that? It might be easier, for instance, I guess what I'm saying is if I put out a suggested time and ask people to respond to it, because I know that there's still no conflict with other calls, we say went to 8:30 to 9:30.
For me, it's okay.
Yeah, this is Claudia. I think that's a good idea, Julie.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea, Julie.
And Rafiq, what do you think? And then we'd be doing it 1 hour. And Olga, would you want to still try to do it weekly?
Well, I would like to do that before Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can maybe do a little bit progress before our face-to-face meeting in Nairobi. And then we can reschedule biweekly.
Right. Well, that would be just one more meeting, actually.
Yeah, it's not that much.
It would only be next Friday, because the following
morning.
Day we
hi,
having
Tony.
A face meeting.
Hi.
Shortly thereafter.
Hi, Tony. Welcome. We were discussing the timing of the call because we have changed it recently, and we have several apologies, and we think that perhaps one of the reasons that we are not together today as a team, many of us, is because of the change in the time. So we were thinking about doing the call a little bit later, half an hour later. Is
it's
that
okay
a
with me?
For you? Okay.
Yeah.
And we are planning to have one more call next Friday before Nairobi, and then have our face-to-face meeting on Sunday in Nairobi. And then see if we can discuss that in person in Nairobi. If we reschedule for biweekly meetings or or weekly, then we can see that how progress we made and sorry, and we can move forward from there.
Good.
Great, Julie. So do that. Send a message proposing that time change and see what's the reaction in the list.
Right. Oh, good. This is Julie. I will do that. I'll make it as set it a part of our regular report to bring people's attention. And this is Julie. Also, I looked through the charter with respect to any requirement as to the number of people needed to be on a call. There is no requirement in the charter for the number of people that need to be on a call in order to hold a call or a meeting. There are requirements relating to the definition of a consensus position, rough consensus being no more than one-third disagrees and two-thirds agree. So in that respect, I think perhaps the interesting point would be that anything we might decide on this call, we would have to consider whether or not we could consider that a consensus position or whether or not we would need to have input from the others. I think with the number of people on this particular call, we would need to have input from the others. But I should point out that as we've been going through the documents, I have any language that's been discussed on the call, I have represented it in curly brackets to indicate that we've not had comments from everyone in the work team, just those on the call, and in each case, we've always asked work team members to comment on any language suggested, you know, during a call. So we've been giving work team members not on the call an opportunity to review what's been discussed.
Thank you, Julie. I would like to propose the following. Let's do the call for 1 hour. And let's try to finish the language for the first document, for subtask one, and propose the changes among the agreed changes among us in the wiki, with the curl brackets or strike through or whatever it corresponds, and then we ask the group, the rest of the team, to review those changes, and if we have the time, then we move with to the second document. And go on, because there are some language still to be defined in the first document that I think we should close that document and agree and find a version among all of us and go to the next one. We have been going around with that document for a while. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me open the door. I have several things open at the same time. Let's find the document. There is a text proposed by Rafiq in at the end of the first document. It's a shame that SS is traveling. He cannot join because he's the one who chaired the sub-working team. Let me find it. It's task one, sub-task one, section two, paragraph F. There is a language suggested by Rafiq. Section 2, paragraph F, in case of unfair treatment resulting in the rejection of an application or a dispute, the applicant may lodge a complaint with the ICANN ombudsman, or, this is the inclusion suggested by Rafiq, or a mutually agreed upon non-biased neutral third party. The process for lodging a complaint with the ombudsman is set forth in Article 5 of the ICANN bylaws and in the ombudsman framework available at blah, 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 a link. I like the suggested text. What do others think?
I like it too, although this is Claudia.
Tony? We lost Tony. Okay, I suggest the following. Julie, please take away the curve brackets and leave the text as agreed among us and see what do others think. I think the text has been circulated like one week ago, so I haven't seen reactions against it, so I think it's a good inclusion, and it's clarifying.
Okay, Olga, I'll take away the brackets, and I will in the action in this meeting ask people to review all of the changes in task one, subtask, and indicate whether or not there are any concerns.
Great. So this goes for section two, paragraph F. And I have another paragraph indicated to be reviewed, section three, paragraph two. And there are several parts in curve brackets. Could any one of you remind me which was the issue with this paragraph, because I cannot recall?
Yeah, Olga, this is Claudio. We discussed this paragraph two calls ago, and then also on the last call when I proposed language based on the initial discussion. And that's, I believe, what's in there in the bracketed text. And that was what we came to agreement on the last call.
So this text was already prepared by the working team in the last call. And
yeah, I had sent it to the list. I think shortly before the call, and then we talked.
Yeah,
about
I remember that. Yeah. So we may think that the group has already reviewed it and saw it. So it's something that nobody reacted against.
Not on the call. I think Victoria had proposed alternate language, but
I don't recall seeing Victoria's comment.
She wanted to. She sent something to the list also before last week's call. She wanted to stick with what we had revised on the previous call. We sort of did a revision while we were speaking, and she wanted to stick with that language.
Okay, let's review the text and see if we agree in it or not. Section 3, paragraph 2, to improve accessibility, transparency, and accountability, all groups should establish and publish a consensus-building model or process in their bylaws or charter. The process or model should be based on the principles of participation, representativeness, process integrity, flexibility, transparency, openness, and other norms common to the genus or working group model. It's a reference about the use of voting with policy. I don't understand the language at the end of the paragraph.
I was going to actually I was going to ask a question about that too. Julie, is that just old language?
That was language that had been originally discussed. You did not make any changes to it, Claudio. It's just I have quoted the full paragraph. So that was something that was discussed and was not in contention. I've simply included it for completeness.
Because it was I think including it was just not something I was initially contemplating when I sent the new language to the list. I just thought that was going to be the language we were going to go from.
Right. I included it just for complete list because the Section 3, Paragraph 2, that is Section 3, Paragraph 2. So
yes.
You've made changes to the first sentence, so the second sentence stands as previously agreed, which is that use of voting within policy deliberation should be minimized as much as possible. And that was discussed several calls back.
Claudia, you're okay with the last sentence?
I mean, I'm okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the idea there, but it sort of flowed, and I mean, part of my idea for coming up with new language was to just make it more broad and sort of more general.
Well, Claudio, this is Julie. Were you anticipating striking that second sentence? Because
I didn't receive that
as a direction in any of our calls. We didn't actually talk about the second sentence, I didn't think, so that's why I've included it. And I'm sorry if I misunderstood.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I was basically proposing a whole different set of language than what was previously there, including.
So you're proposing the first part of the paragraph.
Yeah.
But you're proposing to strike that second sentence so that there is just the one sentence.
Exactly.
What do others think? I like the idea. I don't like the last sentence. I think it doesn't make a lot of sense having it there.
I agree. Yeah, we should take it out.
Rafik?
Okay.
So let's do the following. Julie, strike it through and take out the curl brackets in the first part of the paragraph and see what do others react. What else we have to revise in the first document?
This is Julie. I don't believe there's anything else, Olga.
Great. So let's do the following. Let's tell our list that we have revised the first document and we have made some changes and that we have like 1 week to review them or react or send comments. And if nobody sends any comment or reaction or proposal, we could have it as a final document. Does it sound reasonable?
Yep.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So about subtask 2, there are some texts that were going to be submitted by Claudio, Michael, Julie, Claudia again. How could we proceed with this document? Should we move forward from the point that the working team left in the last call, or should we revise this text that has to be sent from different people? I would like to move forward.
I'd vote for moving forward, yeah.
And see and remind Michael, Julie, Claudia to review, and Victoria, I think they have to review some text and send some inputs. You think it's a good idea?
Olga, this is Julie. I have actually sent the text in.
Yes, I saw it. I'm so
mine
sorry.
Is
you're, you're right.
Care of. And just to remind people, I had sent in the recommendations that related to paragraph C and F. I had reviewed the recommendations, and paragraph C through F references the constituency disclosure policy. I was unable to find references in the BGC recommendations with respect to a constituency disclosure policy. I had sent that separately to the list.
Yeah, I saw it. Is that text included in the document as some part of it, or we don't need to include it?
No, Olga, we don't need to include it. It was sent for reference.
Okay.
The idea was to see whether, so that people could be reminded as to the related BGC recommendations, and so there's nothing to include unless we decide that there's language that's missing there, but I think it was, at any rate, we can discuss that. I can go back to that particular message if you like.
No, I saw it, and I think it was very clear. Claudio, do you want to submit this? It's new text that you propose to submit, and about this section 2, and review some language in section 4, or you want to discuss it now?
I'm sorry, Olga. Which?
I'm talking about the actions items of the last call.
Okay.
And there are some references about some text that you were going to all propose or revise. It's section 2, committees, paragraph C and D, and section 4, elections.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to the text and review it? Okay?
Yeah.
I think that would be easier. Okay. Julie, please help me. Where could we... Which could be a good point to restart reviewing the document, the second document?
Well, if we wanted to take... I think we had, at the last meeting, as you mentioned, there was a discussion about Section 2... committees and paragraph C and D, and we could look at those and see if we have any changes that we want to suggest there. I think we had suggested some changes last week, but I think that there were some concerns expressed on C and D about what was required and whether or not it was too broad and what were the precedents from other constituencies, and I think that's why Michael was going to look back at his group's charter to see what they suggested there. So we might want to hold this, but I'll just quickly read C and D, and we can see if we have any additional thoughts, perhaps, if you'd like me to do that.
Which part of the document is this one?
It's Section 2 and, or Part 2, pardon me, Part 2, Recommendations, and Section 2, Committees, and within Section 2, Paragraphs C and D.
Okay.
Right, so Paragraph C reads, the fact a committee has been established and the membership of it shall be published on the constituency website, and action points, decisions, and any resolutions and final work products should be made available to the entire constituency membership within a reasonable period of any given meeting. And D reads, it is recommended constituencies publish to the constituency membership and this was added, going forward, maintain a list of all active and inactive committees and their final decisions, resolutions, and final work products. And that the terms going forward were added because of concerns that it might be onerous to go back and collect historical information on constituency memberships and lists of active and inactive committees. So it was suggested that this recommendation apply going forward.
Comments about, I don't work usually in a constituency, so it's difficult for me to say if this is a good language or bad, so I would appreciate Tony's or Rafiq or Claudia's input about this.
Olga?
Yes.
I think the language as it was modified and stands now is more appropriate. It's more it would be more let's say it's more fulfillable. Okay?
Okay.
Claudia? Yeah, I think this language is good too. One of the concerns I had about C was if a committee was formed within a constituency or stakeholder group, are we talking about publishing that on the website so anyone can see that, or is it just for the membership? So I see that, you know, that there's a distinction there, you know, because I'm just wondering if it's an internal constituency issue, they might not want, you know, everyone in the world knowing that they're looking at a particular issue. Let's say, for example.
Let me ask you something. How do websites of constituencies and stakeholder groups work? Are they all the content is open for everyone, or they have some parts which are private for the members of the constituency?
I think it varies, Olga. I think some might have areas dedicated to their membership, but I don't think there's uniformity.
No, I imagine, but it can happen that there may be a website that has a private section to the members.
Yeah.
Olga?
Yes.
Yeah, in the case of the ISPs, that's not the case. The website will normally sort of focus on publishing results, let's say the results of committee work and things that would be useful for the public to know about, but not perhaps the internal debates and discussions going on about certain topics. I mean, those belong to the constituency.
So why don't we add some language that could cover that privacy that the constituency may have in its communications? So we cover that. I'm reading it. The fact that a committee has been established and the membership has said, decisions and any resolution and final work products should be made available to the entire constituency membership within a reasonable period of any given time.
But that's okay in a sense, because it's for the constituency membership.
I would add a sentence that could say perhaps... considering also that there may be some information that could be kept private to the constituency members, something like that.
Actually, if you read the way it ends, it says it should be made available to the entire constituency membership. It doesn't talk about the general public.
The whole world, yeah. So you like the language as it is, Tony? I'm trying to address
No, it's all right. It's not very well written, the paragraph. As Claudio defines it very accurately sometimes, it doesn't flow well.
Well, you both are English native. I am not. your help is welcome.
Well, perhaps we could leave this as a pending open issue if Claudio agrees, and maybe either of us or both of us can make some suggestion before the next meeting.
Great.
I don't know what Claudio thinks.
No, it's a good idea. I was just thinking about it while we were speaking, and perhaps if we the first part of the sentence, I think, is where there's a little ambiguity. So maybe if we just... if it just reads, the fact a committee has been established and its membership should be made available to the entire constituency membership, period. And then all action.
I agree. That's
would a good
fix
change.
It.
That's a good
that
change.
That would fix it, yeah.
Did you get it, Julie?
Let me review it. The fact that a committee has been established and its membership shall be published on the constituency website, et cetera.
It should say, and its membership should be made available to the entire constituency.
Oh, I see.
And period.
It shall be made available to the, well, shall be made available to the constituency membership, or do you want to say,
or
entire constituency membership,
which
is consistent with what it says further down?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're really shortening it.
So it's already... change, and we are okay with the language?
Could we read it once more as it stands now, please?
The fact that a committee, this is Julie, the fact that a committee has been established and its membership shall be made available to to the entire constituency membership. And action points, decisions, and any resolutions and final work products should be made available to the entire constituent membership within a reasonable period of any given meeting.
I think that's fine, Julie. Maybe you could just put a period and instead of maybe.
Right, and separate those two into two sentences?
Yeah.
Okay. So then it would
I agree.
It would begin then, action points, decisions, and any resolutions, blah, 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 shall be made. Okay, so that'll be a separate sentence.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's done. You like it, Rafiq?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Great. So we have C. Are we okay with D, with the addition of going forward?
Yeah.
It is recommended constituencies publish to the constituency membership and going forward maintain a list of all active and inactive committees and their final decisions, resolution, and final work products. Is this feasible? It's not a burden for the constituencies.
Yeah, I mean this is Claudia. That's what we spoke about last week, and we discussed that the toolkit would be primarily available for that reason. So
great. So it's okay with the addition of going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you. Okay, communications has a lot of text strike through. Should we revise it again? What it's left?
How does A read right now?
It should say all constituency mailing lists shall be open to the entire constituency membership and at the election of the constituency in any given case to the public.
Well, what about the executive committee? A mail list. Normally, that's not open to every member in the constituency.
Okay.
It's not a secret society, but it's. I mean,
okay.
The executive committee really goes about the business of the constituency, it's not normally a list which everybody reads.
Okay.
I don't know what you think, Claudio.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, I remember we talked about this last week. And Julie, was there? I don't remember if there was like an action point there that for you that you were gonna look to see what the BGC report said about.
Well, I did actually, and that's what I had sent around previously. I can pull up that message if you'd like in just a second.
Could you tell me what date you sent to Julie, please?
I have to look back. It was, I think, on Monday. But let me pull it up.
Why don't we add a last part
Monday
of the sentence?
Here is the paragraph, okay? So with respect to Task 1, Subtask 2, Section 3, Communications, Paragraph B reads, see, this is with respect to Paragraph B, I thought, mailing and discussion lists should be open and publicly archived. With posting rights limited to members of the election of the constituency. I didn't realize that it also pertained to paragraph A. But in any case, let me read the recommendations from page 43 of the BGC report. In addition, the GNSO constituencies with council and staff participation should develop clear operating principles for each constituency to ensure that all constituencies function in a representative, open, transparent, and democratic manner. Operating procedures adopted by constituencies should reflect common principles and follow these guidelines. Mailing and discussion lists should be open and publicly archived with posting rights limited to members. Procedures for developing policy positions should be clear. I think the rest of these relate to other areas in the recommendations. So that was the only one I found that related to mailing that. And it seems to read almost verbatim the same as what is in paragraph B, that is that the recommendation is mailing and discussion lists should be open and publicly archived with posting rights limited to members. I did not find language that matched paragraph A.
Okay.
Hello, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Debbie. I just want to say hello.
Hey, Debbie, how are you?
I apologize for being late. I have an 8 o'clock standing meeting, and I apologize, so sorry.
Don't worry. Welcome. Oh, by the way, are we all going to Nairobi? Claudia, you're going to Nairobi?
I'm not, no.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Debbie?
Yes, I will be there.
Great. Connie?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Rafik?
Yeah, you'll be there.
Great. I'll be there, too. So we'll meet face-to-face. Sorry for the interruption. Why don't we add a part of the sentence in A, making this reference to the executive committee exception that Tony pointed out? Does it happen in for example, IPC, Claudia, also, that the executive committee has a kind of a private list?
And, you know, I'm thinking it might be beyond just the executive committee. You know, there might be other...
Yeah, of course. We may find a broader language.
Olga?
Yes.
I may be wrong in my understanding of the BGC report, but that's a recommendation, right?
Yes.
It's the BGC is not laying down the law. They're saying we recommend that this is what we would like, correct?
Well, that's my understanding. Yes.
So we could have a different opinion about this.
Yeah, that's my understanding, that we
okay.
may find a different language. That's
okay.
what they say. So could we add something about saying that there may be some reserved lists or not available lists?
Are we speaking? Well, are we talking about A now, Olga?
Yes.
Or are we talking about A?
Yeah, that it doesn't work for me the way it stands.
The idea I raised last week, Olga, and I'm not sure if you know if the constituencies would see enough value or think it's a good idea, but what I thought was if there was one public list for each group, that would could be used to put postings on there and at least make the public aware on what's going on within the constituency.
Claudia, this is Julie. That was actually original language. It was a second sentence. It is recommended each constituency should have at least one publicly archived mailing list. But I think there was discussion, at least I have it as stricken from last week's meeting. Was mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. There's not really, I don't think there's really consensus that of the value behind, I think, of having it. So we ended up striking it.
Okay. Can we add some language about some reserved list? Is this useful, or we just leave it as it is?
Well, if you leave it as it is, I don't think that's what we would be comfortable with. I mean, I'm okay with the second part of the first sentence, which says, "At the election of the constituency." In any given case to the public, that's okay. So, I mean, certain things would be useful for the public to know.
Yes, I agree.
But the first part of the sentence is kind of broad, actually.
All constituency mailing lists shall be open to the entire constituency membership. Yes, I think it's like too broad and too vague. I think we should add some language for some restrictions.
Yep.
I should suggest to take all away. Constituency mailing lists shall be open to the entire constituency membership and at the election of the constituency in any given case to the public. And we could add something like some lists may not be available for the whole constituency, I don't know, in the sake of some privacy discussion. So I don't know, some language like that.
Yeah, I think that's a possible solution.
I just forgot what I said.
No, but we got the sense of what you're saying. The thing is, how do you define the exceptions in the context
yes.
of this of this wording?
I was thinking all first. I don't like all because that's really saying all of them have to be reviewed by all the members. So taking the all away brings us to a smaller universe, and then we have to add a sentence to define what we don't want to be seen by everyone. We may say that constituency may have some reserved list for internal working.
Yes. It would be sort of internal working, organizational issues and sort of keeping it away from policy. Because I think basically the sense here would be that the BGC doesn't want hidden discussions
exactly.
on policy.
On policy, okay, exactly.
But
so,
I mean, the executive committee may be discussing how many chairs they need for the next meeting in Nairobi, or who will be coming to the cross constituency breakfast, things like that. And I mean, why would it be necessary for the entire membership to be following this?
So the sentences would be like constituencies may keep some private lists for operational matters and organization, something like that. Did you get something of this, Julie, as a language?
This is Julie. Perhaps we could say the constituency may have reserved lists for operational matters not related to policy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
and take the first all word out.
This is Julie, deleting the word all. And then adding a new sentence, the constituency may have reserved lists for operational matters not related to policy.
You think that's fine, Tony?
It's a lot closer to what I wanted to do here. It's a good step. What do you think, Claudio?
Yeah, I think that's an improvement. But I'm just trying to understand, like, if the idea is that if there's some discussion going on within a group about a policy issue, does that have to? Are we saying here that has to take place on a list that would be available to a sort of the entire group? And they just
I see your point. I mean, the actual exchange of emails would be one way to do it, and very, very broad. Normally, in our constituency, a lot of discussions take place perhaps within the executive committee and the council reps, and then that the output of that, the outcome of these discussions is immediately shared with all the membership,
yeah.
Especially in face-to-face meetings. We cover absolutely everything that we do.
And so how would that fit into here if we're saying that we're carving out an exception for operational issues, but
I think basically if we could get away from the concept of the actual emails and
yeah.
sort of go to the meat, which would be let's say the results or the outcome or will of course be shared or available for all the membership. That might we might be able to come up with some wording there.
Yes, I agree with that.
Which was the sentence, Tony?
We're on A, right? All constituency mailing and mailing. Is it lists now, or have we taken away discussion groups?
This is Julie. We did delete the term. We did delete the phrase and discussion groups.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
But I think Julie, what Julie read just now, would it be too much to ask? Would you read it once more, please, Julie?
Yes, this is Julie. The constituency may have reserved lists for operational matters not related to policy.
That's the second sentence.
Well,
I think that's sort of I think it's a little restrictive because I think the implication that is everything else has to be in this sort of public or semi-public form.
How would you want to change that, Claudio, improve it?
Yeah, and I apologize. This might have been one of my homework assignments following our last call that I didn't get a chance.
Perhaps if we took away not related to policy, would that be closer to home for you?
I think so. Yeah, I think that would work. What would it read then, Julie?
Yeah, this is Julie. It would read, the constituency may have reserved lists for operational matters.
Yeah, not qualify it in any way.
That's okay.
Well, I still feel it's being qualified somewhat because we're saying for operational matters. I mean, could we just say that constituencies, I don't know if it defeats the point if we put, you know, if we say that they could maintain reserve lists for...
If needed.
If needed, yeah. Or
if needed. Without saying it's for operational matters.
Right, so we could say, this is Julie, we could say the constituency may have reserve lists if needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Great.
That's
Rafiq?
Fine.
Yep.
Debbie?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So, Julie, did we delete the word all as well?
Yes, we did. This is Julie.
Oh. Yeah, that's important because if not, everything is there.
Yeah.
Great. We have A. All those at rest is strike through up to G. Are we okay with that?
Actually, this is Julie. B is still extant. B reads, mailing and discussion lists should be open and publicly archived with posting rights limited to members at the election of the constituency, which reads pretty much verbatim as to what was in the BGC recommendation.
Oh, and my version is gone.
That needs to be considered, I think.
Did we show last week, Julie?
I'm sorry, Julie, Claudio, what was your question?
I'm sorry, on B, did we, are you saying we did not strike that, or I thought...
Not strike that. And the action item was for me to check to see what was in the BGC recommendation.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we have it on again.
It should not, it was not stricken, or should not have been stricken.
Okay.
And neither is part of C. Part of C is stricken. Part of C is still extant.
Which part is not?
C currently reads, information as to constituency business and work product and finance and accounts, submissions to staff and other ICANN entities shall be made available to the entire constituency membership unless there are valid grounds for restricting distribution. Stricken is in accordance with the constituency disclosure policy.
That's right. We did take that out. Cause,
and actually, the rest are D is D and through F are stricken because they reference the establishment of constituency disclosure policies, and there were concerns about the difficulty of developing and defining such a policy. And the action item was for me to look at the BGC recommendations to see if they referred to such a policy, and I did read them through and could not find a reference to a constituency disclosure policy recommendation in the BGC report.
So it was stricken then. And E also talks about the disclosure
yes.
policy, so does F.
Yeah, D is stricken, E is stricken, and F is stricken. And
good.
Then there were some modifications made to G. G currently reads, all constituencies shall have a published privacy policy provided for the protection of the private, which was inserted in place of personal, data of members, individual having been stricken. And also stricken was, and shall restrict publication of classes of information on the same.
Okay. We like the new language. Julie, could you please clean the point three and update it into the wiki? Not now, I mean, after the call.
Well, all these changes have been made into the wiki. I can save them so you can see them again.
I opened the wiki before the call and
right,
some things
but I've
are...
been editing as we've been speaking.
Oh, I refresh it.
You should be able to see the changes.
Right.
So they should show up. But then I'll go back into editing mode. It's easier.
No, if it's already done, don't worry.
But I thought I heard that Tony had some concerns about the language in paragraph B.
Well, only insofar as since we modified A, does B contradict what we changed? That's my only concern. Because we seem to be restating in B what we changed in A.
Actually, this is Julie. It seems that B goes further than A because A speaks to the availability of constituency mailing lists to the entire constituency membership, but B speaks to mailing and discussion lists being open and publicly archived. So that would
exactly.
be extended to the public, but with posting rights limited to members at the election of the constituency.
So you're really saying that anybody in the entire world can read everything? They can't post to the list, but they can read everything, right?
This is Julie. That appears to be what it says.
Mm-hmm. Claudio, any thoughts
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about last week that, you know, we and our discussions that I think this concept with communications is that the groups communicate with the public what they're doing and what decisions they're making and or their positions on issues. And I think what's been discussed is that the details, the inner communications are not as important as the bigger picture of getting that information out to the public. This seems to be focused on the mailing list rather than the outcome of.
Yes, that's why I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think maybe if we focus this more on communicating the outcome.
Exactly.
I don't have specific language off the top of my head, but.
I closed my document, sorry. I cannot find it now. Trying to refresh, I made a mistake.
I'm wondering if, this is Julie, if we could reference instead something related to decisions or positions could be public. The BGC recommendations talk about procedures for developing policy positions being clear, and processes being available and open. So if we might want to perhaps be more specific as to what exactly we're making public as opposed to all mailing and discussion lists.
Exactly. I think we need to define that a little more narrowly.
This is Julie. What about policy decisions should be publicly archived or something like that? I mean, if you say open and publicly archived, then that would mean that people would be able to follow the discussions as opposed to the outcome.
Yeah.
Well, you could say the outcome of all constituency policy discussions and decisions would be publicly archived and available.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cannot see the document. I cannot open it. I closed it. and I cannot open the wiki. So I'm not following the text.
What if it's, you know, also... If we want maybe something like, you know, all, you know, groups should communicate their their official positions on issues and through, you know, on their website. The IPC, for example, like we put every time we submit a comment, it goes up on our website. Different activities that we partake on that are related to policy issues also go up. Things like that. That's kind of what I was thinking. Do you think maybe we could take this to the list, Olga?
Yes, and I was thinking that we reached 1 hour, and we agreed to make this call a little bit shorter because we have very few members participating, and I cannot open the wiki.
Olga?
Yes.
Olga?
Yes.
If it would help you while you're on the call, this report from Victoria McEvity, you can find it on December 18th. An email from her to the group.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that something happened with my internet connection. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm okay.
So you may not find anything.
You're in Japan, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It has been working quite well at the hotel, but now something happened. Okay, let's do
awesome.
The following. Sorry, Tony, you wanted to say something.
No, I was just pointing out where you could find the document.
Julie, please be so kind to put all these changes that we have been talking about in the text in the wiki. And
this is Julie. I have actually already entered those that we have discussed thus far. I do have a question with respect to B. Was there any consensus on a change? I heard the outcome of all constituency policy decisions and then striking mailing and discussion lists should be open and publicly archived, but I'm not sure that a decision was made. Are we taking this, the text would be to the list, or does anyone have a suggestion when I move forward with that one?
I have a suggested text, which would be constituency activities and the output of all discussions shall be open and publicly archived. Or should be open and publicly. Did you get that?
Let me see if I got it. Constituency activities and the output of all discussions should be open and publicly archived.
Yeah, that's a suggestion.
Cloudy, you like it?
Yeah, you know, I might have to just look at that one on paper. Julie had just read something that, they're very similar, I think, what Tony and Julie just read. I'm not sure if when we say constituency activities, if it's to, you know, what we're referring to exactly there that they put on their website. It might be cleaner if we just say, I think Julie, the language that Julie read was policy outcomes.
Okay, I'm all right with that.
Or news about policy.
What was the, could you read the language again, Julie, that you initially had read?
Lost Julie? Hello.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. I was on mute. Okay, I've got it back. Actually, this is okay. My suggested text was the outcome of all constituency policy decisions should be open and publicly archived.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one.
Great, Rafiq. You like the language?
Yeah. It's okay.
Debbie?
That sounds really good.
Great. Okay, so let's do the following. We asked the working team to review the final version of document 1 and review the changes made up to here in the second document. And we establish a new time for our call next Friday and try to move forward in the list with some inputs or comments about what we have agreed up to now. You think that's a good plan?
Yep. Yeah.
Great. And Julie, please let us know about the proposed new time in UTC. I don't recall which is it now. And help me, please, summarizing this action item.
Yes, Olga, this is Julie. I will summarize these action items and today. And the time in UTC would be 1:30 UTC, 1:30 to 2:30 UTC, 8:30 to 9:30 EST.
Great. And hopefully we will have more working team members in our next call. And then we have our face-to-face meeting in Nairobi.
Julie, this is Claudio. Is it confirmed that there's going to be remote participation for the our face-to-face meeting?
Yes, Claudio. This is Julie. All meetings will have remote participation, very robust remote participation. In fact, the board in their meeting last night requested additional funding for remote participation.
Oh, wow.
Exactly, yes. It's as many members of ACAN community will not be there. The board has requested to have a good platform for remote participation, which I think is very good.
The only issue, of course, is that the times will not necessarily be convenient for people at all time zones.
Olga?
Tony,
I seem to have heard that Chuck won't be there.
Chuck won't be there.
That's amazing. He's never missed a meeting.
I know, but he's not allowed to fly by his company. So we will manage with Stefan. We have divided the different meetings of the GNSO, and we will do. He will be participating remotely, and we will help him from there. Yeah, he said that yesterday in the GNSO council meeting.
Is Krista going to Nairobi?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Okay.
Many of us will be there, but some others won't. It will be a different meeting.
Yep.
Okay, we have a plan for the next week. Thank you for joining. And we talk again next Friday. Have a nice weekend.
Nice weekend.
Bye. You too, Olga.
Bye-bye.